Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Sarah Mary Chadwick. Born in New Zealand and currently based in Australia, the singer, songwriter, producer, and visual artist is releasing her 9th studio album, Take Me to a Bar, What Am I, Gatsby, on April 4th via Kill Rock Stars. Chadwick has delivered a collection that crackles with the spirit of deep spontaneity, deep emotions, and an undercurrent of humor. We had a far-reaching conversation in which Chadwick discussed her struggles with trauma, mental health, her attitude toward alcohol, which she gave up after completing this new release, as well as the creative process itself. That's Sarah Mary Chadwick on Into Music, coming up now. This record is so powerful, and it's one of those things where it's like, especially the first time I listened, I felt like I just kind of had to take a pause and not just kind of meditate on it for a while, listening to it from end to end. So,
just so you know, this is the first time I've talked to anyone about this record, so. It's nice, yeah, that's nice to hear.
Yeah. Well, I want to kind of go back just a little bit. I mean, was music kind of always that for you, just in terms of like having this vehicle for expression in this way that you could put your emotions into this?
Yeah, I think kind of two things. Like, one is when I was a kid, but my parents bought a lot. Like, I had quite a fucked up childhood, but then so I think I used to play I learned playing piano when I was really young, and then because my mum was like a bit wealth aspiring, like, even though we weren't, and so I learned piano. I think that I used to play piano to calm, because I remember everything calming down. Like, I couldn't sing anything because I learnt classical, which I remember being really frustrating, and like only knew like a handful of pieces. But kind of thinking about it now, because my dad was quite a bad drunk, you know, he's a farmer, so not quite isolated, and like he wasn't a great talker. But now I almost wonder if he was autistic, because I've got this one memory of us whistling together in the house that they built before the carpet and everything, and like the whispers kind of echoing around the house. And it's like the one of the very few happy it's literally one, like the only happy memory of my childhood. And I think maybe around then I kind of must have realized that music speaks, do you know what I mean? Like, we couldn't verbally, like, he wasn't articulate. I just remember that. I mean, kind of since then, I think that's when I've kind of been a bit pathologically interested in it. But the other thing that I was going to say is that for me, it's quite interesting because I write the lyrics pretty unconsciously. Like I've always kind of got an idea that I want to start with, but I kind of just write. And if I'm trying to write something quite structured, then I'll rework it. But for that record, how it's not super, my arrangements and like composition aren't particularly groundbreaking, but there are, for me, it's not too trad, which is what I would, you know, if I was trying to write broadly, that's what I'd do. But what's interesting about it is that because I write like that, it's always 2 years in front of me mentally. So like when I get to a point in life, then I look back and I'm like, oh, that's what that means. Or, you know, they generally make sense to me retrospectively, like rather than, like at the time I always have an idea, but because I use quite a lot of like metaphor and things like that, I guess a lot of meaning slowly reveals itself to me over time, which I've found quite interesting.
Yeah, that sense of where did this come from, right? And it's just there. And you have no idea, right?
Do you mean it feels like that or I feel like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. For me, sometimes I you know, because I write prose and I'll have something will just pour out of me and I have no idea. It's like it's alien on the page, you know? It's like somebody else writing it.
Like you have, like it surprises you or it's easy to come out.
Yeah. Like you're describing, then sometimes the meaning comes later, you know, there's like some experience and it's like, oh, well, that was in the back of my mind or that was in my someplace in my body and I just wasn't able to recognize it.
Yeah. Yes, it is like that for sure. I'm kind of really interested in how to translate that to writing pro, what do they call like fiction that is poetic?
Oh, like a prose poem?
Well, no, like if I don't really like Maggie Nelson, but like that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, what do they call that?
Only thing, and I'm sorry, I'm like blanking because the only thing I can think of is a prose poem. I know what you mean, but the words eluding me.
Yeah, like when there's like three bits of poetry and then kind of more grounded bits. Like I don't love that, but I think I thought that like because I always wanted to be you, like a writer, and I think I thought that when you're, because I was a big reader as a kid, and I think I thought that writing had to be quite like verbose or like use a vocabulary that I didn't have, and then but kind of like from reading my lyrics, I'm like, well, I think I can write enough to communicate something, but it's really, really difficult for me to, because I don't want to write memoir, so I don't really know how to work that in. Like, I want to hit my strengths, which is like, I think it's quite visual what I do, and like obviously quite related to me, but I don't know how to write fiction, and I don't want to do memoir, so I don't really know where that leads me.
I don't know. Maybe you'll stumble upon something new. Some sort of hybrid that...
Go on, say more.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because I think it's possible, right? Because, so do you know the writer Kurt Vonnegut?
Yeah.
So I always feel like with his writing...
That's weird. I was thinking about him today, what was his quote? I have a disease and it's a phone and a bottle of whiskey or something.
Yeah.
Yes. It's really weird that you say Kurt Vonnegut because I haven't thought of him about it for years, but that quote came to mind today.
Wow.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No. That's funny. Yeah, and I don't know why. Maybe it's the state of the world I've been thinking about him, but, you know, some of his fiction is, he'll appear in it as a character and it's things that happen to him, but then there are, you know, space aliens and other things. So it's this kind of like... Yeah, I think it's that kind of hybrid, you know, where it's like, well, am I looking at, it's not really memoir, it's not really fiction, it's some sort of commentary.
Yeah, that's actually super interesting, because I think maybe I was thinking about that, what's it, the Mr. Rosewater, like, thank you, Mr. Rosewater, is that what it's called?
God bless you, Mrs. Rosewater, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, like, that's kind of the one that I remember liking the most. And I think maybe I was thinking about that. Yeah, but something like that or like, you know, like I think I just wanted to get around memoir in that A, that my songs are so kind of autobiographical that almost like you don't want to be not a one-trick pony, but I feel like I need some kind of variation on that, that I, rather than just doing the same thing, kind of move to a different medium. But yeah, I don't. It's just, I guess, because that was my main thing that I always wanted to do. It's someone said to me what I'm saying to you, I'd just be like, just start, like, just do it. Don't think about it, just go. But it's the one thing that I really hung up on. What kind of writing do you do?
So one thing that I've done, and I would actually recommend this, is that I came into a time in my life where I was very busy. And I just started writing like 100 words. So sometime during the day, They're just these very...
Is it that artist, the right to write or like artist way thing?
Say again.
Remember there were those two books that came out in the 90s? I think they've kind of had a bit of a resurgence of like The Artist Way and The Right to Write.
Yes.
So just like a 100 words, just these, I would call them blips. And then sometimes I would, you know, post them or I'd send them to a friend in an email or something like that. And I got really focused on that. And it, because I can be such a long-winded person in so many other areas of my life, it really helped me focus. And it was so much more attractive because it's like, oh, it doesn't have to be 20 pages about this person. This can just be like a, almost like a snapshot of something I remember or experienced, but I can put it in the mind of a character, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I really need to think about that because... It's so alien. You used the word alien before. It's so alien to me. To like, I can write to a brief, but that's always kind of thinly veiled. Like even if I write to a brief, I can listen to it afterwards, and I can see that without even trying. Like I've somehow, you know, inserted. Okay, I wrote something for someone that was super autobiographical for him. Like he wanted it to be like Australian, and I mean I'm from New Zealand obviously, but yeah, Australian, and he had a really kind of you know, traumatic childhood. Like his, like he won't mind me saying this because it's literally in the song, but like his dad killed himself when he was 14, and I think there's a lot of like family trauma, like the grandmother did as well. And yes, yeah, so I, you know, because it was Australian, there was a lot of me, you know, being in my room writing and being like, hey, Simon, which is my partner, Simon, would Australians say like tinderbox? Or like, Simon, like tell me some words about, like, what do Australians say about bushfires? And he'd just like chat. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then, yeah, but even like that was obviously written very much to his experience. I was kind of like, I didn't want to put words in his mouth, like, because it was so personal. But then, like, I'm sure I did somehow. Like, there would be some threads of narrative in there that probably read more broadly, but probably from me. But yeah, like, do you avoid yourself in your writing? Oh, no, so you write, you do.
Yep. I have a character that I revisit, and I just use his name for everything. So he has all these different experiences, and
yeah,
whether it's the same person or whether it's somebody else with the same name each time, only I know.
Do you do visual art as well?
I am terrible at visual art. I love to scribble, but it's I don't have very good fine motor skills. So it kind of looks like junk.
I feel like that could be cool. I feel like, because maybe like in my mind, I was like, graphic novels are good because they're short on, well, you know, they're not like extrapolated, like word wise. And maybe it would suit me more because they're more like, you know, small ideas, kind of. Almost kind of what you said, like, but more concise, like a sentence, but like, you know, put in some kind of narrative. But I, to be honest, I don't think I have the, like, the patience to be so precise. Yeah, but you know, one day.
one day.
Yeah, I just remember my friend used to live with Simon Hanselman, you know, the cartoonist, and he, I remember my friend telling me that Simon, and this is like, he's quite well known. Like, I think he's on that Fantagraphics comic publisher or whatever. And I remember my friend telling me, Simon draws like 14 hours a day. And like, I was like, I can do that with music. But I was like, I remember him saying this, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And that kind of set the bar for me of like, if you really want to do something, that's how much, like, dedication you have to it. Like, you just, you have to want to, and you have to like be able to kind of, you know, do that, and then you just get in the practice of doing it, and then, you know, and then you get diagnosed with ADHD, and then you realize that you've just been staring at a computer for 12 hours and not even realized, and that's fun, and then it's bad for you.
So have you been diagnosed with ADHD?
Yeah, I've had a shocker. I got diagnosed with bipolar 2 just before Christmas, which, like, so that's relatively new, but also really maps more than anything else. What over like my, you know, even things like, you know, I've always been really reluctant to use antidepressants because I did a lot between 17 and 30 and nothing agreed with me. And then now when I'm like looking at resources for bipolar 2, they're like, the worst thing for bipolar 2 is antidepressants. And I was like, fuck, I'm glad I stuck to my guns from 30. I was like, so I'm 42. And I was just like, I'm not doing that again. Like, I know what they do. And then the other thing is like, yeah, like just so many things, just kind of, yeah. So I've got, what have I got now? I've got bipolar 2, ADHD, PMDD, and PTSD. That's my acronym. That's the name of my sex tape.
Well, that's interesting because like the ADHD, I was diagnosed maybe 2 years ago. And then once you get that diagnosis, right, then you can start filling in. It's like, oh, this is why I can sit and listen to music for 7 hours.
Oh, so do you have the one that I have? Because my husband has he can't, like, it was difficult for him to apply or to focus, but do you have what I have?
Yep. I get that. Okay.
Super narrow focus, yeah. And then once I found medication for it, interestingly enough, I always had a little bit of depression. My depression lifted when I started taking the stimulants because it was almost like it was this, you know, relief of frustration with day-to-day life, you know, like, why can't somebody do what I do? You know?
Well, it's a lot of, background work, I think. Well, I kind of got prescribed medication in a roundabout way in that I got it for an adjunct medication for an antidepressant that they wanted me to try for the PMDD, which is like a very under-researched because women, but like thing that revolves around your period and about like, you know, some women are like normal and then suicidal, but I'm like, my baseline's so low that then the other stuff's so low as well. But yeah, so she kind of tried, my psychiatrist tried to put me on an antidepressant, which I didn't end up taking. But like, and I said to her, like, I've tried my husband's like Dexys or whatever, and I was like, I know it's speed, like I know it could literally just be operating as a mood elevator, but it's really helping. And then I think with the PMDD, there's crazy comorbidity between like ADHD, like BPD, bipolar 2, and autism. And then, but I mean, I'm mostly into psychoanalysis. Like, I've been in analysis for 10 years. So like, it's kind of, and cause I'm like 16 months sober, I kind of, like, it took me ages to get my head around medicating responsibly. Like, but then also I'm kind of like, well, if I've been operating with bipolar, I'm like technically unmedicated for 42 years, then actually I'm a fucking unicorn, and like, no, I will not hear a bad word said about my best friend wine, because without it, I don't think I would have, you know, like, it seems really rational. Like, addiction is rational to me, like, you know, like, you do it for a reason. So yeah. So no amends shall be made by me if anyone's waiting.
The other thing I was going to ask you, of course, was about the performances on the record, which seem, and your other records too,
which I seem, they carry a spontaneity with them. But,
you know,
tell me about that. I mean, is that something that you know, is really intentional, or is that just the kind of performer you are where you can kind of summon that spontaneity?
I think with the most, so for me, the most kind of like, not improvised, like I'm not really that kind of, like, I think I'm almost at the point with, I can't sing and play piano as well as I can play piano, if that makes sense. But like, you know, like I am, for the record, I play piano because I know it's a bit janky, but like, so for me, the most kind of, not unprepared, but the most deliberately, like, I'd only taken the songs to a point and then deliberately parked them because I don't, for my own stuff, I don't, that's kind of what I've realized, like, because I've been doing work with other people and like I put like the production and arrangement and other, like some people's records I've been working on, I'm like, this is like 20 times more like elements and effort than I would ever put into anything of mine ever. But that's when I kind of realized that, like, for me, the idea is enough. You know what I mean? Like, if you've got like an idea to start, and I kind of, maybe that's my folly, is that I think that the idea reads without the bells and whistles. But I think that a lot of people, like, if I swear to God, if one person says raw about this record, I will, you know, something bad's going to happen to someone. That's all I'll say. But yes, I think that record and the Me and On We record that I did that I released in 2020, I think. Like, I think with that record, I went in and I think I had played through the songs as I wrote them. And that was quite deliberate because I wanted it to sound, like I said to Jeff, Jeff O'Connor, who I still work with really closely, you know, I wanted to concentrate on energy and emotion, and I wasn't interested in like picture performance. And Jeff's a real perfectionist, and we've been working together, so we've met in the middle somehow now. But at that time, like, it was the only time we've ever fought, because he wanted me to do another take of something, and I was like, no, I was like, two takes max. And he was like, yeah, okay. So I think we'll try and grab another, you know. So we argued about that, but then I won, by the way. Well, I won in that we fought, and then it stopped, and I got my way. But yeah, but this record, I think I went in more with like a concept, insofar as like, it's not recorded live. I mean, sorry, it's not like a performance recorded, but it's live in that I recorded the vocal and the piano at the same time. And yeah, I don't know, like, for that kind of thing, like, I don't, like, I never do my thing to a click or anything. And when I work with other people that, you know, that are, and even if I'm accompanying a singer, you know, like, I'm kind of used to like listening to wonky timing and going, so I don't know, I just wanted that record in particular to kind of read as like kind of coming in and out. And I kind of wanted to write something less demanding, like, you know, I feel like my other records have been quite almost like aggressive in how they, you know, confronting's way too strong, but like, and obnoxious could be a word as well, but like, they very much like, you know, to me sound like they're demanding attention. And I kind of I've always wanted to have something that you could put on in the background, and also from working in bars, you know, like, you see the records that just get thrashed, you know, and it's always, they're always great records, but you know, it's like, you know, what's that Peter Greenway with, you know, or like, just whatever, you know, like when everyone went mad on like that Donnie and Joe Emerson or whatever, like, you know, there's all the ones, and I, not that I wanted to be an artist like that, but yeah, I just wanted to kind of just, I don't know, like the romance of kind of like being able to just pick up a lyric and be like, that's, you know, takes you to a thought, but then you can get back to your conversation. You know, that's not so prescriptive in how it's listened to, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. Like an accompaniment rather than a focus, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you think it reads like that?
My idea for it was, this is the kind of record that you just really make, you make space for. I envision it as I get home from work and I'm just sitting in my living room kind of meditating or whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be like I'm hanging on every lyric, but it's there and it's kind of guiding me in a way while I'm going through this process.
That's exactly, I wanted it to be like you'd put it on when you're making dinner by yourself. But that was my idea, that you just have it like it, so it's like a tone and a mood, but it's not like you listening to a you know, to concise songs or whatever. Like I'm always pretty like rehearsed, you know what I mean? Like, because I play all the time, but like, I mean, I play some music every day, but yeah, like I'll kind of make a choice about what songs I want to be like a bit more kind of grounded or locked down, so to speak. But then, you know, like I'm trying to think about the record, like the song soundtrack is one that I put a lot of thought into, I guess, the kind of trajectory and the tone of that song. But then something like that, like the Gatsby song, or maybe that She Leant Upon a Bar or whatever, they're kind of more just kind of written as I go. Like I do this thing now when if I'm not writing at the real piano, I just write at the, you know, the electric keys I've got, and then kind of track as I go, and then like the track is thing, then delete that, then track two, you know, track a verse, then track a verse and a chorus. So like kind of writing in real time, which I find cool, because then, you know, like I'll be looking through my phone and be like, oh, well, I wonder what that song sounds like, and then it's like, oh, that's pretty good. Yeah,
I wondered too about your sense of humor as it comes through in the music, because it's there. And I wondered if humor, in the same way, you know, we talked about music maybe being a little bit of a relief or whatever, was humor also that sort of thing where it was like, I can laugh about that, or even if I'm laughing to myself, it's, I have that capability.
Yeah, like I'm aware of that. Like I wouldn't say that I was like black belt funny, but I know that I can, you know, at the very least, get a, you know, a light murmur of laughter, or I can get like, and live I kind of, you know, I'm really interested in like performers who can deliberately like break, like control the fourth wall, like, you know, yeah, like I'm really interested in that. And so, you know, I'll do things like sometimes people will laugh at a lyric and I'll be like, no, like stop, and be like, that's not supposed to be funny. And then I'll do the joke. Oh, like even on this new record, like there's that line, what is it? Even from the moment I was born, I turned my head, mother said, and her vagina was torn. And like for me to say vagina in a song is like, not because it's risky, but because it's just like quite I've not heard that word used in a song. And so to me, that's really, that bit's funny. And like kind of no one laughed Like there's a, I can't remember, there's a line before that everyone laughed at, and I was like, no, that, and then I did the vagina line, which I thought was going to slay, and it did, it went down like a Led Zeppelin, so I, and I stopped, and I was like, no, that's the funny one. Yeah, but yeah, I don't think this record's particularly funny. For me, that record sounds more kind of controlled and more like, I mean, I'm older now, like, a, you know, like, you know, so I've done, recorded a lot of things, but then, yeah, like I can hear, like, even like working with singers and then hearing my breathing on that record, like I'm like, I can hear my breathing like improving, you know, like things like that that I'm more conscious of. And like it's nice to not have to be funny, you know, like I will not feel like that's important to, like I definitely don't mind. Like, I love writing a funny lyric. Like, I'll definitely immediately tell people about it. And I write, like, I'm just trying to think of, like, one that I got a real kick out of lately. Like, oh, someone told me that, like, I was like, wouldn't it be cool to write, like, wasps into a song, but you break it into three, like, wasps, like, three. And they're like, that's ridiculous. And then I, like, wrote, like, some, you know, just to prove a point, like some kind of like program drum, like pop thing. And it's like, wasps. And I was like, and it totally works. And I knew it would. And so I love that if I can like do that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm not super, actually, yeah, maybe it's a bit of an up and down thing. Because when I was young, I remember being like, you know, hearing people walk out of shows and being like, this is too depressing, I'm leaving. And just think, and then I'd always like immediately play slower, play longer, like, and this is me on like a shitty keyboard that was on my knees, and I just like the word, the more of a downer it was, the happier I was. But then, and like, you know, for the last few years I've been trying to keep it pretty light, because I think I was quite depressed around 2019 and 2020, so like to the point that I was like crying on stage, and I was like, this is like, this is actually gratuitous now. Like, I don't need to be, it was, and to be honest, it was more the reception when I would do that. Like, I remember playing a show and, like, I was trying some medication and, like, my eyes were just, I was like, it was literally like my eyes were broken. Like, I wasn't, like, consciously sad or anything, but it's like, and I had to stop a song, and I was like, I'm sorry, like, I'm just not crying. It's just like, I think my eyes are broken from this medication I'm trying. But then the fact that, I think it was the fact that people almost thought it was part of the performance that kind of made me kind of overcorrect into making it overall more light. But then now I'm kind of more in a place where I want to be not either or, do you know, like, yeah, I don't know. Do you think, like, what, so you think that new record's funny? So which bits, what, is there anything in particular that you think's funny?
Well, not funny in that sense, more like, you know, sometimes you can be in a situation and it's kind of perilous and everybody around you can see that it's perilous.
Are you saying, filled with peril?
Yeah. Yeah. You just go about your business and everybody's saying, oh no. And you haven't a clue. And so there's something, I don't know, to me, there's something humorous about that, about how we can be so, I don't know, sometimes removed from ourselves or something.
Would you go so far as to say like dissociative, or like, what do people say these days? Like, oh, do you like depersonalized, or more so like kind of blithely oblivious?
Oh, I think both. I think both, you know?
Okay, yep. Like, yeah, okay, yep.
Like, well, that what you were saying earlier, the about using the word vagina, like, yeah, that didn't land with me as funny, but
but
it was that lead up, you know? So I think it's that thing where it's like,
yeah, what is the joke before? I can't even remember. There's something that people were like,
let me see if I have if I can pull up I don't have the lyric sheet in front of me.
Yes. So it's something about like doing things the hard way. Oh, clinging to life, which is strange because I used to. Is it that?
Yeah.
Because the tighter I gripped it, grew more elusive. Oh, no, it's not that. That's the second one. I'm clinging to life. He can leave if he wants to. I have far better things to do with my time or something. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah. But yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. And so it's the... I don't know. Maybe it's the use of the word vagina is the punch line, so to speak. But it's the lead up that you kind of laugh at, and then you have that. You know, I don't know how to explain it. But yeah, funny in the way of like sometimes just not recognizing the peculiarity of the situation or something.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes, like I say, like I often am surprised at what kind of hits or not in terms of joke things. Like literally, I've been like a 90s comedian about it and come off stage and be like, that audience was dry, like like trying to get, yeah. But I don't like so many times people were like, oh my god, that I cried or whatever, and yeah, you know, kind of like I get it. Yeah, like I've got this new, I like a song that I was talking to you about, like the fourth wall thing. And it's like, one of the first things that I think, see, this is the kind of shit that I get off on. Like, I love kind of making it like clever, but, and, you know, and I'll push it. I think it's the alcoholic thing, like more. Like, I commit, I break the fourth wall, but not this. This is friends talking, which is, that's a bit of a fuckery already, right? Like, because you're not, obviously not. But then I was like, oh, and I think this is a lot about that new about Take Me Out to Bar, is that I was really like, so the next line's, singers love to glamorize the work. Like, I don't, like, you know, and like for me, like, it's obviously like a joy to me and a very like my happy place. But like, I don't like the, I love singers more than anything, but I don't love the tropes of singers, you know, when their read is disingenuous. But so the next line is like, I was listening to Janice Ian. She was singing about watching someone sing. And I was like, that's fucking cool. Cause that's like, cause then if you're watching that, you're watching someone sing about watching someone sing about singing. Is it, do I get it right? Like there's like five, you know? Yeah, so I told like all my friends about that, and they were as bored as they usually are. But yeah, like, I love that shit. Like, but that's what I think, that with that new record, like I wanted it to, like almost like not undermine it, but like just not try to elevate it. If that makes sense, like put it in a place that isn't. Yeah, maybe that's the demanding thing. Like, I didn't want it to be me front and center, but more just like something that almost like supports a mood rather than like running it, you know. And maybe that's the working at bars for so long, like I used to love watching, I mean everyone who works in hospitality knows this, but you know, like watching dates, like, you know, people are putting their best foot forward, or you know, the woman that arrives like half an hour early because she wants to have four shots first before the person turns up, and then you're like, good luck, like, you know, like just watching women, like obviously hashtag not all men, not all women, but like you know, watching women do things that often people, you know, or like you can just tell it, and like the stories that people put up with when they're trying to be, you know, attractive, I guess, is just like really funny to me. It's just like, you know, like you really want to get laid. Like if you're listening to that, yeah, I don't know. Do you think that's interesting?
Hey, yeah. It's that kind of stuff. Wow.
But, you know, but like going out's really important to people. Do you know what I mean as well? Like that's funny. Like going out is like work, home, and going out. Like that's the things. And then, yeah, I don't know. It's like, I like, it's almost like, especially if it's like non, like people who don't perform like on a stage or something, it's like, to me, that makes going out more, because that's when someone sees you. So that's when you're dressed up and that's when you're, you know, wearing your best shoes or, you know, you got, like it's, I like that about it. I like that it's important to people. And so that's why I didn't want that record to be really intrusive, you know, like,
It's interesting because I went to a show in a different city right around Christmas time, and I was probably one of the oldest people in the room, but I was looking at these younger people, the couples and some of the women, and I was like, oh my gosh, everybody here looks like my friends at this club that I used to go to 25 years ago. And I bet you if I struck up a conversation with these people, we could have the exact same. from 20.
Like talk about the modern lovers or something. We're like,
yeah.
And that's not a knock, but it was just, it was just so fascinating to see that, this fashion is back, or, you know, that type of, you can tell sometimes by something about somebody's personality based on, you know, what they're wearing or how they're carrying themselves in the room, you know?
Like, because you've seen one before kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know that we're having, like, literally the most, like, midlife crisis conversation that exists? Like, this is, like, do you know what I mean, though? Like, this is literally what people in midlife crisis is talking. Like, wow, the fashion. I wish I'd kept those boots, you know? Do you know the one that got me was watching some new, like, current pop artist, and it was like a blonde young woman, like, kind of with a wig on, with like a black guy with you know, braids through his hair, and, you know, put like kind of poof, like baby doll things, and like shot on, you know, shot with a Super 8 filter. And someone underneath was like, yes, bring back Lana, like, whatever. And it's like, fuck. Like, that's a whole, like, I liked that when in 2012 when it came out, and people were treating it like it's the Beatles. I was like, this is crazy. Yeah.
You've been listening to a conversation with singer-songwriter Sarah Mary Chadwick. Her new album, Take Me to a Bar, What Am I, Gatsby?, is out April 4th via Kill Rockstars. You can learn more about Chadwick via the label's website as well as her Bandcamp page. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torrin Anderson. You can send us questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on our website as well. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next time.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.